everybody, welcome back to Pack Your Mics. We are the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep. Each week we break down the most recent episode of our favorite reality cooking competition show, Top Chef, this season from New Orleans, with summaries, analysis, and occasional snark. Today, as I introduce everybody, I'm going to go around and introduce the whole panel. As I introduce you, I'd like you to say another cooking competition or reality show or cooking-related entertainment that you enjoy as well. In honor of this fact, I don't know if you guys saw this, but let me just read you the press release from the network. HLN's new show, Cook Your Ass Off, hosted by celebrity chef Richard Blaze, is a healthy twist on a cooking competition show from the producers of the hit series Chopped. Three chefs battle it out each week to transform lives by spinning unhealthy dishes into nutritious eats.
I want a different version of that where it's just like, cut your arm off, and it's a really easy weight loss problem.
That's not
that is entertaining.
I would watch Cook Your Ass Back On for people who lost too much weight.
That's great. Yeah, because Richard's from Atlanta and opened up burger shops and stuff like that, and he's really into, you know, like Southern food.
Yeah, I don't think
and
of
so
him
as hosting a healthy show is interesting.
But he also lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He didn't look as good to me.
Has happened.
Yeah, he looked gaunt and angry. So that's what the show must be about.
Yeah, he lost all of his happy weight.
Become gaunt and angry with Richard Blaze.
But Healthy Choice wasn't going to put their weight behind gaunt and angry. So he wanted something with more zest for life.
I just feel awkward with him being a celebrity chef. I liked him better when he was just a chef. And also, HLN, not a good sign for a show, I don't think.
The Home Learning Network? Home Living?
I was assuming that was headline
Healthy
news.
Healthy Living?
The like.
Nope. Home.
I think safely we can say nobody knows.
Hallmark. I think we've got it.
With that
Hallmark. That's how acronyms work.
Yeah, the classic acronym where they use the first and last letter of the first word.
Shut up, I tried.
Of a compound word.
Anyway, so that sounds like a piece of crap. And so I thought we would talk about our other favorite cooking shows, what else we like. So, for example, I'm Alex Falcone of the Batman movie Falcones, and I'm in Portland, and I really enjoy Iron Chef. I think I may have mentioned this before, but Iron Chef is one of the shows that has a lot of actual cooking. And I don't care for the judging on the show. I just like, I know it's all fake, but I still really enjoy watching them cook and actually talk about the techniques.
Well, Alex, wait, America or regular?
I've only seen the American version.
Ooh,
isn't the original one in Japanese?
Yeah, what's they dub it
with
though?
With dubbing,
But it's dubbed and it's great.
Then maybe I have seen one of the Japanese ones first.
Because the Japanese ones, like those Iron Chefs, are beasts,
and they are serious. They don't like it's kind of tongue in cheek a little bit for parts of like it on America, but like they're like not fucking around for regular.
I enjoy that. True. I like that. Although, does it have Mario Batali on it?
No.
It maybe has like 8 Japanese Mario Batalis. We don't even know.
Yeah, that's right. And well, none of them are friends with Gwyneth Paltrow, so I feel like this is a win.
I really like Mario Batali on that show. Yeah. I just like that it's focused on the cook. Like, the cooking is like 90% of the show, and the judging is 10%, as opposed to Top Chef, which is like 50% judging. Also joining me today in Portland, Megan. Megan, what's your other favorite cooking-related media?
I am a really big fan of the public radio show, The Splendid Table, hosted by
Such a good show!
Because Lynn Rosetto Casper is like the most delightful person on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
So accurate.
And yeah, yes. And she's so good. People call her up with these questions and she always has amazing answers for them. She's
so
really
this
great.
Is like carb talk?
Carb talk?
Get it? Get it?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Oh. like car talk on NPR. But
Wait, did Everett not get it before Alex explained the joke?
Wait.
Chris was happy before he got it.
I got it.
We're all right there with you.
Immediately.
So they call up and they're like, I'm in the middle of cooking and I have this problem. How do I make this taste less salty or something?
I don't think they're usually in the middle of cooking, but...
But they do have a really... Sorry, Megan, I'm like your hype man on this.
I'm
excited that you came up with this. But I love the thing, they do a quiz sometimes where somebody will call up and be like, here's the random crap I have in my fridge. And then they'll have like a celebrity guest on who has to like come up with how they make a meal out of it in like
so
a minute or so. It's so fun.
It is really awesome. Fun.
Awesome. All right, in San Francisco, we're joined by Ezra and Sarah. What are you guys' favorite other cooking TV shows?
Well, I have one that's kind of we saw this accidentally a couple times. It's called Check Please. It's only on in San Francisco, as far as I can tell. It's on the public channel.
Nice.
And it's basically just a bunch of people. It's on, it's like on PBS, the local station. And just people just who don't know about food just like talk, like they all get sent to this restaurant and they review it and they just all really like it generally.
That sounds fun.
I like restaurants.
Yeah. So it's just like, right. Like, did you guys try the spare ribs? Those are really good too. It's just really sweet.
I like it. Oh, that sounds nice. Awesome, Sarah. What about you?
I'm a really big fan of Chopped, but I think that's mostly because
Chopped is good.
It's just on all the time. So, and I'm a big Food Network junkie. So, if I'm home and, as there's an improv or something, I'll turn it on and Chopped will be on. And it's just fun to see them try to make something with eel blood and huitlacoche or something. And cry about it.
Their own tears.
I've never seen
it's one where they have like a crate of ingredients, right? And everyone has the same crate.
Yeah, so you get a box. There's three rounds, appetizer, entree, and dessert. And it starts off with four competitors in the appetizer round. And everyone gets the same box full of the mystery ingredients. And they have to cook.
Like four of them, usually?
It depends. Five. 3 to 5, I would say. And they're all, like, you can think of, like, good chefs can think of something to do with all of them. But they can be pretty bizarre and not necessarily go together. And they have to make a meal with that. And then one competitor gets chopped or eliminated or after each round.
One competitor gets
from Queer Eye.
Butchered.
Right, exactly. Ted from Queer Eye is the host, and there's three judges. And then there's two left in the dessert round. They go head-to-head, and then there's an overall winner who wins $10,000.
And is it the same as Top Chef in that everyone who goes home for appetizers is like, I didn't get to cook my food. I hate that I'm going home for an appetizer.
Yeah, definitely. They have the little, like, sad cam afterwards of them walking down the stairs and being like, I really didn't get to show how good I was.
Awesome. All right, and in New York, in Brooklyn, New York, we have Chris and Tanya. What else do you guys like on the TV?
Oh, I'm going to just go with UK Kitchen Nightmares because it's great. It's like regular Kitchen American Kitchen Nightmares, except with less shouting and more like, let's all work as a team.
I believe that you can elevate above the crappy microwave food that you're
eating. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's just a lot. I feel like there's less psychodrama and more like talking it out with people who care.
There's so much psychodrama on the American one. It's always like, every time it's like, this father and son aren't gonna get up, this brother and sister will never talk again, can these twins.
Yeah, there's a lot more like Jerry Springer in like an industrial kitchen.
Yeah.
Is it still hosted by really Gordon Ramsay?
It is
in the UK?
Yeah.
It is.
It's just the producers are making different decisions.
Yeah, it was,
well,
I feel like his fame in America is just for yelling, and in the UK, his fame was for also being a good chef and a former football player. And so,
well, and being like a restaurateur.
And a restaurateur,
like opening a bunch of really successful restaurants.
Yeah, and
but he also talks about not being successful, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Like what he had to do at first. And America only knows him as the guy who throws plates at people. And so every episode he has to throw a plate at somebody.
Here's your one for the episode.
He was wonderful on MasterChef Junior. He like hugged the kids and was so sweet to them.
He was very supportive.
Yeah.
I think he's playing up his asshole side by a lot. I think he actually is probably he seems like a really good dude most of the time. But on the American Kitchen Nightmares, he will like throw a plate on the counter and the camera will shake, like it'll do a fake camera shake as if he has shaken the whole restaurant with his ankle. It's so corny.
Gordon smash.
That's what they do.
I feel like that's part of it though. Like part of what's so enjoyable about watching UK Kitchen Nightmares is like you're not worried about his blood pressure anymore, like the veins in his neck don't pop out. Like it's just like watching someone that you associate with being really like mad all the time do something really sweet. Like it's like if Russell Crowe had like a show where he just hung out with puppies.
Oh, I would watch that too.
Oh, the lighter side.
Puppy Gladiator?
No, Ezra, that's a different show.
Are you not entertained? Master and Puppy Commander?
And Chris, what about you?
You all have named a lot of my favorite food shows. So
we did not mention Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution.
Oh, that's depressing.
I have, yeah, no, I'm not going to talk about that.
That one made
me
sad, too.
What I'm going to talk about is a delightfully kooky show called Good Eats. I don't know if you know Good Eats with Alton Brown. He's the guy who wears the bow tie and does America's Test Kitchen.
Yeah, he's also he's also on America's
Iron Chef.
Yeah,
yeah. But like, Good Eats is hilarious, and it really takes the position of food education, and so it teaches you about where these different foods come from, and there are skits or just other really kooky things that go on.
Really delightfully campy.
Fun. Yeah, really campy. So it's not a competition. It's just about learning and about appreciating food. I don't know. Tanya's making faces like
I just came up with a runner-up, though.
Oh, okay.
The Ina Garten show is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Barefoot Contessa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Love that show, too.
That's a party.
I've never seen it. I really like Alton Brown, though. He did an episode of Mythbusters where he had to cook. His challenge was to cook an entire Thanksgiving dinner in the engine of a car while he was driving to the house. And so he like wrapped a bunch of stuff in foil and put it in different, and he like, they did a bunch of heat testing for where the different amounts of heat from the engine were created. And so we put like the potatoes on the carburetor and then the turkey was here in this. It was really impressive. And apparently most of the food was good. Not all. And he was just really fun on it. And it was really, it was a neat show.
He's a character.
Yeah.
There's also a show that I misunderstood. What was the Ranch Hand one?
The Pioneer
Hidden
Woman.
Hidden Valley.
Okay.
Reed Drummond. She's awesome.
So there's a Pioneer Woman one, but like, I guess I came in partway through and just the text was surprise birthday party. And I thought that's what the name of the show was. So just every episode they have a surprise birthday party.
I like it. Although when you sign the waiver beforehand, it might be away.
The surprise might be lessened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to sign away your rights to appear on Surprise Birthday Party. Also, we can't tell you what the show's about.
And isn't it your birthday soon?
Yeah. Actually, it'd be really, the most surprising birthday would be if it was like 6 months away from your birthday.
Yeah, that's super surprise.
Really,
totally.
It's a surprise really early birthday.
And party. It turns out you've just been lied your whole life about what your actual birthday is.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise, March 6th is actually your birthday.
Oh, God. You thought you were almost 30.
It was a long con since birth.
Yeah. You have a different father. You were adopted, and you're actually over 30 now. Surprise!
And you're a Pisces.
So, wow. I guess that'll affect all of your personality traits now that you know that.
Yes.
All right, you guys, so let's get into our show about Top Chef. Oh,
yeah, it's a Top Chef show, right?
It is. I think that was a good tangent. I think people who watch Top Chef probably watch other food TV, and we can expand some people's horizons. We have heard from a bunch of people who liked Read It and Weep and had never seen Top Chef, but watched it because of the podcast and really liked it.
Awesome.
Hey, welcome. Hey.
Yeah, although I do feel kind of weird, like, pushing reality TV on anybody who wasn't already watching it. I love the show, but it feels weird to, like, try to convince someone else to watch Top Chef. I don't know.
Yeah, and this season's really
It's better than what we pushed on people before, so...
Oh, that's true. That is true, undoubtedly. Mm-hmm. In today's episode, we got the quick fire, we got the elimination challenge, and we have a last chance kitchen. Let's start with the quick fire. Megan, why don't you explain the quick fire? Can you do that for us?
The quick fire was to make a hot sauce.
Very well done, Megan.
Crushed it. Normally, they'd have to cook like a dish, but instead, they just have to make a sauce and put it in a cute bottle with their name.
Yeah, that was the
best cute part. Bottle with their name.
So good.
I liked that reveal. That was a good
Yeah.
It's the great twist.
They were chopping peppers
twist!
And mushing things and mixing things, and then they were like, when they had to plate, they came with a little like normal hot sauce bottle with a label that had their names on it. It was cute. So you got to try to taste like Carlos sauce. It would be fun.
Oh, wow. That suddenly took a turn.
And we all know that the main part of this quickfire was really not about the hot sauce.
No, it wasn't.
It was about your favorite person, Dr. John.
And also about watching Padma's face while Dr. John talked.
I feel like Dr. John was Padma's Lemony Snicket from Top Chef Masters. She had to make. Oh, sorry.
It wasn't like. Yeah, it was just like Lemony Snicket in that she didn't hate him, but was just having trouble dealing with him. Was exhausted dealing with him.
Well, she kept having to make all of these reassuring faces at all the contestants to be like, "It's okay.
That's
everything's gonna be okay."
No, it sure was like. Yeah, it's like when you're like your weird uncle comes back from the hospital and you're like your mom's just like, it's okay, you just have to kind of go with this. Like, he's fine.
You might have to translate for him a couple times.
You're like, oh yes, this is verily hip.
Calling everything tangy.
Hip tang.
Well, you need that tang nasty.
Or that hip tang.
That hip tang.
Yeah.
You know, you got that spice tacity.
I think
and
there
then
is
you
an
got
amount
that hip
of
tang
words.
Maneuver.
I think there's an ideal amount of made
maneuver.
There's an ideal amount of made-up words for someone to use in a sentence, and I think he was over his quota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's two, right? And he was at, like, all.
Yeah.
Problem.
Well,
and Padma had to consistently say things like, what, I think that means he likes it.
Yeah.
And yeah. She's like, I mean, let's just set the scene. I mean, like, she's wearing this elegant black dress. Mm-hmm. She looks great. And he's wearing some sort of, like, voodoo priest outfit.
He looks like Dr. Teeth from the Muppets.
Yeah. Yeah.
That might be who Dr. Teeth is based on.
Yeah, this guy's been a famous musician for a really long time.
Yeah,
but
that seems completely within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, so have any of you guys ever listened to any of Dr. John's music?
No, what kind of music is it? I have no idea.
I mean, it's
what it could possibly be.
It's New Orleans Americana type. He's he sings. He plays a lot of a little bit of everything. Great singing voice. Hugh Atchison talked about really enjoying his music and how you hear it like all over the place in New Orleans, and he's just been around forever. But none of that explains why he doesn't speak English. You're on a television show. You have words. To communicate, and I know that sometimes like communicating food quality words, like if you're like, this is like tobacco-y, like I understand that's a little difficult for some people, but you are just making shit up and it's very difficult for me.
I mean, here's the thing, Alex. You, as a non-famous rich person, have only had access to the normal words, but he has been rich and a celebrity for a long time. He's gotten words you haven't even imagined.
That is true. He referred to Carrie's Trinidad-y sauce as Trinidadly over the top.
I mean, that communicates.
I think he's just getting fast and loose with like adverb stuff.
Yeah.
And syllables.
Yeah, yeah. Brian had the winning dish with a jalapeno tang that was verily hip.
Yeah, and Padma had to say, yes, verily.
It was indeed verily hip.
That one's not so much a brand new word as a repurposed old word, but...
Yeah. And Carlos was in the top, and Justin was in the top.
Carlos had the habanero mega maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As Dr. John would say. So what do you guys think about Brian going back-to-back on quickfires?
Without having to cook any food.
He still zero dishes. Back to back.
Well, man, I feel like he earned this one.
A little bit more, yeah.
I think it was funny because he was the person that they kept cutting to where he was like, I have no idea what this guy's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, he was just so confused the whole time. So he's like, I guess I'll just make a good hot sauce. And it turned out to have the... to be very
well, and
hip.
He's a saucier.
Yeah, he's a saucier.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a saucier.
This was right up his alley.
Actually, we saw him so much, though, I was like, oh, he's either going home, like, right now, or he's going to win something.
Well, he actually also said he is a saucier, and he's always dreamed of having his own line of sauces. So probably seeing Brian's jalapeno tang hot sauce bottle probably made him happier than anybody else.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. He's motivated.
Like, yeah.
This is the beginning.
Yeah.
Coming up, Brian.
And he definitely felt like he did a lot more than he did in the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Today I didn't begrudge him the win.
I have such a hard time because when I look at Brian, I just think more lowlights, more of them, all of them, please.
Oh, right.
Because of his hair?
The hair.
I've never heard the term lowlights for that.
We got the highlights. So you want, you want some lowlights?
Like more blended.
Midlights?
Lowlights.
Yeah. Could he go back to his natural hair color, please?
Or maybe like Padma's hair color, anybody else?
He's a little late 90s, early 2000s. I'll give it to him.
I want everyone to get a Dr. John makeover now.
Dreads for
that.
Everyone get his like goatee thing, the chin beard that was like braided.
Did he have that?
Pretty sure. I'm gonna pull up some pictures.
And his hair was braided, and he was just had the crazy voodoo cane.
Yeah, like, voodoo cane. I like the idea that it was like, we've replaced your jackets for today with these Dr. John jackets, and they look they all look like they're voodoo kings. Also, I thought it was fun that Carrie and Nina were both in the bottom, who were both terrific, and they were both in the bottom for being too hot.
Yeah, they couldn't interpret what it was that he wanted because he wasn't using
words. And I think from my experience hanging out with people from New Orleans, they like their hot sauce to have some heat, but overall it's about adding a lot of flavor. And I think the criticism that they had was of those two sauces were that they were so hot that they didn't have room to really taste the extra flavor that it was adding.
I mean, that's definitely a thing that can happen, although, like, you know, the Trinidad style, like, the islands like heat a lot hotter. They are about, like, heat.
But without losing flavor still, right? I think that's legit.
Yeah, I mean, but if he, like, I guess if he is used to mild hot sauce, then he would, like, what overwhelms the flavor for him is a lower threshold.
That's true.
I mean, tang, right? He wanted the hip tang.
Yeah, he just wanted some hip tang. Well, come on, guys.
If we were to interpret the word tang, like, tanginess is not the same as hot.
No, it's true. Well, he wanted some heat, but most of what he talked about were hip maneuvers. Like, maybe he wasn't even talking about sauce at that point.
No. Yeah, it's sort of like something that makes you like put it in your mouth and you go like, just like to the side, right?
Or maybe he just a little. Recently had surgery to replace one of his
hips. My hip is entirely hot sauce now.
The first time he said hip maneuver, I thought he was like explaining why he had a cane.
Yeah.
I was like, did you have a hip maneuver?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
My hip maneuvers were too Trinidadly over the top head slamming, so I needed to get it replaced. So Brian wins immunity. Some good people in the bottom. Everybody feels fine. It was also weird to me. I guess I've never done just a hot sauce tasting because they would just take the bottle, pour it on the plate, and then just like dip a toothpick in it.
That was actually.
He had a whole plate of food.
He had like jambalaya like on his plate somehow. I don't know how he got the jambalaya.
I think he just wanted to have some food. But then they also had some like saltine crackers.
Yeah, so they did have some saltines.
Suck up the heat, between and kind of clear their palate.
What?
I just thought he had like an emergency jambalaya that he carried with him in case of
excuse
a
me,
tang
while I
emergency.
Dish up my jambalaya.
I just got this out of a foil bag.
In case we lose cabin pressure, jambalaya will fall. That's fun. I guess I don't know how to taste hot sauce, but it does seem like it's very different putting sauce on food than just licking it off a plate, right? That's a very different experience.
Yeah. Licking anything off a plate is a different experience.
Yeah. Not necessarily worse. All right, so for the elimination challenge, we were done with Dr. John. He did not stick around and judge the elimination.
I was bummed. I was
so happy to see him go. All right. I respect him as a musician, but they needed somebody who could talk about food.
I wasn't as distressed by his presence as everyone else, but I feel like this is a place where they really did a good job of like finding the right element for a quick fire versus an elimination challenge.
That was
the right amount of Dr. John.
I agree with that.
Exactly.
And I did not hate him, but he was like he was just a little wackadoodle. And I like I said last week and probably before, I like a wackadoodle quickfire. I don't care if it's random who gets immunity. I don't care what you I don't mind at all. If it was just make your own peanut butter, I would not be upset.
I wish we had had some kind of weird like product tie-in though for him, right? Like Dr. John's favorite Clorox bleach for huffing or something like that.
Where after tasting every hot sauce, he will huff a little bleach to see how it mixes.
He should have his own package of herbs where he could sell Dr. John's wart.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I thought you were mostly on board, and then Tanya made sure that I knew that she wasn't. Awesome.
Well, I would just go with, like, peyote.
Dr. John's peyote.
Dr. John's hip replacement. For when you need
real moms use this.
Yeah. Real moms. All right. So
Dr. John's Scrabble. Sorry.
Ooh, I do like Dr. John's Scrabble dictionary, where you can add E-R-Y to anything.
Trinidadery.
Hip-tangosity.
I would be a big fan of a Scrabble game where all you had to do was say it in a cool voice, and people were like, all right, that's probably a word.
Yeah.
Okay, you just gotta say it right. Let's do the elimination challenge. So, Sarah, you're not allowed to use the cheat sheet because you said you didn't need it.
I knew that was coming.
Can you please describe the elimination challenge?
The elimination challenge was a boucherie, which we learn means something along the lines of the whole pig.
Yes.
And
it's just French for butcher.
Yeah, it is.
But apparently in New Orleans, butcher means here's a pig.
Here's a pig. Cut it up. So the chefs get this, I think, like 300-pound hog delivered to them upside down on a tray, and they all have to go at it and butcher it, and each chef has to use a part of the pig, and it has to add up to the entire pig. And
so
then
there are 11 of them, right? So they have
11
to
chefs,
split
yeah.
it up
they have to
somehow.
Each use 1/11th of a pig. Or
right.
see if it's 300 pounds,
it's a lot of, it was a lot of people.
30 pounds of pig per person.
A lot of pig pounds.
But I think they were serving a couple hundred people, right?
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, it was, yeah. they were serving 200 people.
Yeah,
200?
So
I thought it was 130 or something.
It was something.
I don't know.
A number.
I think
a number.
It was 200
okay, so each
something.
Chef has 30 pounds of hog that they have to give to 130 people. So what's that, like 4 pounds of hog per person?
Wow.
No. 2.5, I think.
No.
Anyway, it's a lot.
Well, the pounds, yeah. They,
there were
they,
also bones that they didn't.
Yeah, was
there some water weight? I don't know.
Stuff.
My point is, when they say use the whole pig, they mean use a little piece from each section, right? They're not actually. It's not like there was a pig here and now there's no pig and we've eaten all of the pig.
Every single thing.
Go
every
team.
Molecule.
Yeah, like yeah. I'm sure there's like you throw the bones in the stock and then throw the bones away. We're not really.
Yeah, you don't grind up the bones and then eat the bones.
Yeah,
grounds.
You're not making.
Yeah,
you don't have
yeah,
to make
yeah.
hand tools out of the bones. It seems like I guess I don't know if I'm actually angry about this, but it seemed like they were glorifying like using the whole pig when really they just meant use the gross parts also. Like
yeah, how did you guys deal with the head coming off? That was hard.
And getting
me.
Cut in half.
Megan and I looked away from the screen a lot. Because they wheeled the pig in and they kept looking, they kept cutting to the pig's face with the eyeballs removed, and they kept showing the pig's pig-like face over and over and over again, and I didn't like it.
I would have liked to have like a cut to like just an animated pig just like sort of like dancing for a little while they're doing like the like blood's flying
no,
or whatever.
That would have been terrible. What are you animated pig about? Slowly being cut into pieces. I guess I don't know. I guess I'm earning my stripes as like a non-vegetarian because I was like, yeah, that's what a pig looks like when you're
yeah,
gonna
well,
eat
yeah, and
it.
I eat half a pig face, this is what it's gonna be.
Yeah, I mean I didn't enjoy yeah, like, looking at it, but I do
pork, it belonged
yeah.
to a thing that looked like this.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And I do eat meat, so I kind of, you know, forced myself to look because I feel like I would be hypocritical if I didn't.
I would be willing to take the opposite position that I don't think you have to know where your food comes from. I don't know. I don't eat pig, but I also feel like if you like pork and don't want to watch the pig's face smile, like you can just turn your head. I don't know. I don't think
it
makes
you're
a
cool with it.
Person. Yeah, I'm fine.
That's
with
good
that.
To hear from a vegetarian.
Yeah,
yeah. You speak for all vegetarians, right?
I think, yeah, we had a meeting, and I was elected president.
Of the meeting?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm not sure that I care about that. Like, I think we should all eat less meat for the killing purposes, but I don't think it, like, I don't know. I don't think you should have to look at the pig's eye holes while it's getting cut for that to eat.
Well, and, you know, I agree as far as to enjoy the food, yeah. but as far as, like, you know, kind of a butchering challenge and a chefy challenge to show that, you know, the whole thing, that they're using the whole thing.
I
and,
like
you
I
know,
like
as far as it's a big hog
that.
And they're not wasting, everybody's coming together and using all the meat that they can. And it's not like, oh, yeah, no, we're just going after the pork belly and we can throw away the rest, you know.
Right, right.
I still think, like, if you went to one of these parties and just every single dish had pork in it, that just seems like a lot of pork.
Yeah, way too much.
Like that would be kind of a one-note day. But apparently, yeah. every one of the judges thought it was the best day of their lives.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently that's
yeah.
not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too much
yeah.
pork does not exist.
Yeah. yeah.
And they also, they got to experience a boucherie the night before they cooked for the challenge.
Oh, my God.
Everybody
that
said
is too
that
much
it was
pork,
just
right?
Yeah. yeah.
But
that means
two
like,
days of boucherie in a row might be too much pork.
Well, they didn't get to eat their own boucherie, so.
I'm sure
yeah,
they sampled.
Well,
probably tasted.
They probably tried. But yeah, but seriously, it was like 20 of their last two meals were pork.
They probably really like pork.
It's true.
Pork's good.
Math is good.
Yeah.
All right. So, so they had to use the whole pig, and for this they had some famous local chefs, including Toby Rodriguez was the main chef, and they were both local restaurateurs who were good at boucherie apparently.
Yeah.
What did you guys think when the pig? They kept talking about how big the hog was, and it didn't seem that big on the tray. And then there was one moment where Padma was standing in front of it, and it was like 12 Padmas wide.
Yeah,
that is
I missed
actually
that.
A gigantic pig. You're
that's
right.
that's a it's a large animal.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of chefs I think have experience breaking down like maybe a normal size pig or like a suckling
mm-hmm.
pig.
Suckling
well,
pig
some of them, yeah. I think
but
everybody
then,
had different.
Yeah, but we had a lot of diva moments on this challenge.
Oh yeah, with the butchering.
Like
yeah.
Justin and Nick had kind of a I don't know, pissing contest?
With porking contest?
Yeah, with how many pigs of that size that they've broken down all the way, and like who gets to help and who doesn't get to help.
Yeah, it was like raise your hand if you've broken down a pig, and then like everyone raises their hand. It's like, all right, now if you've broken down more than 10.
Like in the last year.
Yeah.
If you did one this morning before everyone woke up.
Doing one right now with my off hands.
Oh, I'm sorry, I brought my own 300-pound pig. Others were doing that
before. Yeah, it was packed with emergency jambalaya.
Yeah, exactly. The foil packets built right in.
There was definitely that, and then Carlos and Justin had a sort of pissing contest about the tacos, and then Justin just seemed pissed. Like,
yeah, he was in a bad mood this episode.
All the pissing makes you pissed.
I guess so.
Yeah, he had a lot of negative energy.
If the sleep depth was getting to him, because it's been a long week, a couple weeks at this point.
You know, I get it, because, like, you don't, if you're busy, you don't always get a lot of time to, like, put into your beard, and that's, like, sort of the me time that regenerates your powers. And so, yeah, it wears on you after a while.
Yeah.
Was he the one at the beginning, when they were butchering, who was so mad at Sarah for being obnoxious?
I thought that was Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Was just, like, standing, like, not helping, but also, like, not telling
Sarah
everyone.
That seems to be Sarah's MO, is to, like, hover in the background and tell everybody exactly what to do and that they're doing things wrong, but not to actually be hands-on helping.
But on the upside, that was the only time we saw Sarah all episode, so.
Not exactly, because she also said in the studio room, she's like, guys, I think I'm a gooch.
Yes.
Which she defined
as before the challenge. That was at the end of the last episode.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The tag.
Yeah. She feels like any team she's on,
she gooches
towards the bottom.
Yeah. She thinks weighs them down.
But yet she blames that on bad luck, not on her skill.
Yeah.
Not on her specific team skills.
Yeah. So I don't think she's a bad cook.
Her dumplings, like, they didn't get a lot of attention, but they were definitely positively received. And that's the thing,
pretty
is
much
everybody's
all the food,
food
this time was really positively received.
Tom said this was the best meal he'd had in 11 seasons.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Which is amazing.
Best overall showing, yeah.
Yeah, especially considering they were cooking entirely outside on weird piles of wood they'd never seen before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Across the board, they were using oven types they had never touched.
Oh, that's why Justin was so pissed, because he spent all this time building this awesome fire under this crazy grill, and then everyone kept stealing it from him.
And then he got it all to himself, and it burned the shit out of his meat.
He was like, this needs to be a low heat for a long time, and then it just cuts to, like, the thing is blazing on fire.
Burned down, all of it.
And somebody had to be like, whoa, whose fire is that? Like,
yeah, where was he? Come on.
Yeah,
what was he doing? Was he...
He was really possessive.
He was trying to sneak in some beard time.
Yeah.
He was off just trimming and combing. Just trying to get some of the pork from last night out of his beard.
Yeah. It's really tough.
So we had Nina, Carlos, and Shirley in the top, Justin, Lewis, and Stephanie in the bottom. As we said, Tom said best food he's had in 11 seasons,
which is also impressive because, like, we have a lot of competitors still. So we have a lot of, like, kind of middle of the pack. We still have Travis in the game. We have, like,
people
who still have Travis for some reason
who made a slammin' ramen with ramen noodles from the package.
It's like it faked me out so much. It was like, oh, you know, because it's one of the things. Like, if you buy some at store bought, like, it maybe could send you home.
If they show an interview of you choosing to buy something instead of making it, that usually means you're going home for it. And today they were like, well. Yeah, but it was still really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they wanted still, to hate him, but it tasted too good.
I think he was fourth to last place.
Yeah,
I think
like,
so.
They only picked three bottoms, and he would have been the fourth.
Well, but even then, this was a fascinating bottom. I don't think I remember seeing a bottom like this early on a show, where it was like...
Sorry.
This is a beautiful bottom.
Yeah, I could just watch this bottom.
It was
very
really
interesting.
It's a fascinating bottom.
No, I thought it was a really strong bottom, very,
very
firm bottom.
Very shapely.
There's a lot going on with this bottom.
I don't understand. What did I say? Anyway, what he did say, I was so focused on the point. One of the things that Tom did say, though, is he was like, all three of these dishes were delicious. And it is rare that you go home for making delicious food on Top Chef. But today they were like scraping to find something to complain about.
Yeah. I mean, Justin was really angry that they were nitpicking his food, but that's what they had to do.
Yeah, he didn't seem to understand
that.
He's angry that he's on a competition.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't get that
part. Well, it's just like, if you served a dish with one nit and then everyone else served a dish with no nits.
Yeah, you're going
to
get picked.
There is a nit to pick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys feel like, I mean, this came down to a classic, so let's talk about the elimination then. So it came down to Justin too dry, Lewis too much popcorn near it, and Stephanie was just a little too boring. So, or not quite finished, I guess. Even like the pork.
Yeah, like broth was great, but other things were not as great as broth.
Yeah,
I'd say under seasoned maybe was her issue.
Well, so
yeah, I thought for sure Stephanie was going to go home.
Yeah,
with the editing,
I definitely could have seen that. And
I mean, usually if something messes up, it's protein that sends you home, right? Not, like and like
blandness,
not popcorn.
Yeah, yeah.
But so Lewis went home for the popcorn, but it was also a conception problem, which I think the other two chefs didn't have. And right. I think he had a conception problem and an execution problem. So for me, I thought it would be him for that reason.
Oh, right. That's really interesting. I mean, it's the classic Top Chef, which is worse. So the way Tom sort of phrased it at the end was overcomposed, undercomposed, or too much popcorn. And
failure to simplify.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah. So, and also there was so it was overcomposed versus undercomposed, and it was also Justin's somewhat inconsistent cooking in that some of the
pork
was dry and some wasn't.
Yeah, well, the first, because two of the judges, they kind of wandered around in pairs. Two of the judges had what, to hear them tell it, a pretty good piece of meat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Padma and guest judge had some of the last stuff, and it was really dry.
Yeah, did this seem weird to you guys at all, like, that Justin was so angry about that? Like, if their pork was dry, it's not like you can... No, they're not wrong.
Beard time, guys. It's beard time, all right?
No, dude was just pissy all day.
I think so.
He woke up on the wrong side of the beard.
Yeah. Oh! It's tough. What do you guys normally think is a bigger problem, overcomposed or undercomposed? Which is worse? Like, too simple or too many elements?
Well, I think... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Tanya.
Oh, no, it's okay. Go ahead.
I think with this particular dish, it sounded like the meat was cooked well, but then nothing else was done well. Like, it was just, like, they didn't like
with
the
Lewis.
Dish. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so let's remember what Lewis had besides, all I can remember is the popcorn. It was just slow grilled pork leg with spring onions and bonus popcorn.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, that must have been it. I feel like they were being really coy again, that they probably knew it was him. More like there's more obviousness about it being him because it didn't seem obvious to me.
Mm. I mean, this might be one of the things where it's like if you have too much shit in the dish, you have like a higher chance of one of those things being bad.
That's
I guess
you're also distracting away from the thing that's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I felt like somebody actually said like it stole the focus from the pork, and the fact that people went back to just get popcorn was not actually pro
not
that dish.
Sign.
Like that actually made it more obvious that like the dish didn't hang together as a cohesive unit,
right. Mm-hmm.
Which I think ended up being the issue. And I think both of those things can bring you down over time. I think the overly simplistic or the bland will get you faster, but overcomplicated, like that eventually leads to like poor time management and like not getting things on the plate.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
for sure.
And everybody hates an over complex mess.
Well, Tom actually said in the Last Chance Kitchen that one of the chapters of his book is about how you should only use three ingredients per dish.
No.
And
not should, but just
about how
can.
Great it is.
Like sort of the joy of simplifying.
So I wonder
that
if
level.
Maybe that for other people, undercomposed would be worse. Like if Chef Takashi was judging, it would be like there are less than 40 ingredients in this dish. What's wrong with you?
Or Susser Lee.
Oh,
no,
that's
gosh.
What I meant. Susser. That's what I meant. Susser, not Takashi. Yeah, Susser would be like,
you didn't
you
do 40 things and have whimsical sugar strands?
Before.
Like, what's...
but I think
we want to transition to
admit,
the last
like,
chance?
If you can't do 40 things well, then don't do 40 things.
Yeah, that's right. So let's finish up one more thing on the elimination challenge here. So
you want to talk about the wins?
Yeah, let's talk about the wins. So Nina, Carlos, and Shirley with Carlos taking the win. Making the competition between Carlos
Boom.
And Justin for best taco very obvious. One was the winning food and one was nearly going home.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, for Carlos, winning on a day when everybody cooked something great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Well, it was really sweet how both Carlos and Shirley had these, like, great stories with their winning dishes that reminded them of family. Like, with Shirley, it was going home for the New Year holiday with her grandma.
Right.
And
that was nice.
And and she was like crying talking about it. It was really sweet. And then Carlos was really inspired by his mother's dish that was very similar, that people would travel hours and hours to come eat.
Okay. So I agree with you. It was very touching. However, I have a question. And this,
come on.
No. This is a Top Chef thing that I don't like. Is it possible to win Top Chef if your grandma didn't cook? That's what I want to know.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. If your grandpa had a restaurant. Yeah.
But no, I think this cuts both ways. Because I feel like there are plenty of people who are like, oh, we do this all the time at the restaurant. Or, oh, my mom makes the best whatever. And then theirs just sucks. And they're like, wow, that was embarrassing. Like, I was supposed to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it really is like, oh, you know, when I grew up, you know, like my parents divorced and my mom was always working. So I was the one who had to cook for my 8 brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And that's where I started to really like cooking.
I guess I don't want to take anything away from that. I think that's great. But there is this undercurrent where the chefs tell somebody they want to see more soul. And what they mean is more of your visible ethnicity in the flavor profile that you're cooking. They tell a lot of the of Asian chefs who are not cooking enough Asian food that they need to have more soul. And it just seems like there's a preference for somebody who can give you a story of a different ethnicity in your food. That seems like something that the chefs really enjoy.
Yeah, this is fair.
So I think that's the cynical way to look at it. I think
I'm shocked. You
know, no, shock. But like, you know, there is the side of, you know, this recipe has been refined in my family for generations, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, that's the
and
other
like,
thing.
Like, there's a depth, and like the other thing, like, I mean, the reason why that pozole that Carlos made was really, really good wasn't just that he's a great chef, and he is, but because that sort of recipe has been made every single week for generations and generations, and you know he knows the heck how to make it.
Yeah, there's definitely some truth to that. I think that it was also, I guess, it's sort of disproof of my theory in that Nina, who does have plenty of ethnicity and soul that they've liked, but she made something that no one had ever tasted anywhere before, and Tom said they should like invent a country to make it the national dish of that country. So you can't do something totally new there.
Nina Stan.
Yeah, he said Nina Stan, although Nina is the only one in this competition who actually does own a country. So you think it could just be her country.
Nina Dad. Yeah. That would have been
Nina
easier.
Nina Dadistan.
Nina Dad and Nin Bago.
It's two of them. Awesome.
I do think though that it's kind of possible to, like, when you're presenting your dish, like they do kind of want to taste the story, I guess. Like that, it does kind of like skew it in a way. When you're eating something, you wanted it to be kind of special. You want it to feel special, and like if it has like a backstory, has some emotion, even if like the food tastes, you know, objectively the same, I would rather eat a good story, I guess, as opposed to eating the same food without that story.
I think that's a good point. And I feel like the story doesn't have to be like, I'm this kind of brown, so that means that I cooked with these spices, and now you can make the link. Like, it could be, could be just a story about how this dish came into your life, and it doesn't have to directly link to your ethnicity.
Yeah, who's the guy from Masters who won with the mole?
That's Rick Bayless.
It was Rick Bayless?
Yeah.
Where he, like, he didn't have a grandma from Mexico, but he spent a lot of time in Mexico talking to other people's grandmas, and so he learned how to make a perfect mole. So you can borrow grandmas, too.
Yeah. As long as you care.
Borrow a good cooking grandma.
Yeah, it's like a city bike here in New York. You just grab a grandma,
grab it a couple bucks.
And you learn what they cook, and then
you ride them to victory.
Yeah, ride them to victory, and then you drop them off at any convenient grandma station.
Awesome. All right. Well, so let's move on. Were you guys sad? Actually, as a transition, were you guys sad to see Lewis go? Surprised to see Lewis go?
Of the three that were on the bottom, he was the one that I liked the, or I knew the least, and so I wasn't that sad.
I mean, of the three on the bottom also, I thought he was probably the one most likely to go home in the next week if he wasn't going to go home this week.
That's true. Well, I mean, Stephanie has not been doing as well as I want, but she's super funny, so I would have been really bummed if she left. Mm-hmm. And Justin, obviously, this would have been a shocking upset if he went home right now. So I was rooting
for
Lewis.
Yeah, it would have been huge.
Even though I like him.
But, yeah.
I mean, that's worth it. Yeah, nothing is Lewis. No one I hate. So, like, Sarah's a little annoying, but not that bad. And that's it.
Yeah.
I wish we could just eliminate villains. Michael
unless,
again.
Unless Justin continues being a grumpy pants.
Just eliminate Michael over
every
and
week.
Over and over. Michael and Jason.
All three of these were so delicious that we just called Michael in here to tell him to go home again.
I will say, though, we got a couple of, like, interview moments where people talked about why they didn't want to go home. Like, I know Lewis had that, and then also Stephanie. Yeah. And Stephanie, I thought, gave a really great reason. I feel like this usually only comes up when you're on the bottom and they're, like, interviewing you one at a time as they're trying to make their decision. And they're like, why should we keep you here? Yeah. Like, that's usually when it comes up. So it was interesting to hear people, like, Stephanie was saying that with every challenge, she feels like her creativity is growing, and that's why she wants to stay. Mm-hmm. And Lewis was like, I don't have friends, and now I do... So I'd like
to
Lewis had such a great
got them.
It was a great variation on a theme. He started by saying he didn't say I'm not here to make friends. He said I came here thinking I wouldn't make friends, but now I have so many friends.
I didn't come here to make friends, but I did.
Yeah, it was really sweet, cuz he's like, you know, he's always working when he's sort of, you know, at home and not just surrounded by like chefs who are also always working all the time, and so like they were all able to bond, and it was really sweet.
I like Lewis does seem like a heck of a guy.
I think they've done a great job with this season. I mean, they have like the quality of cooking right now is so high. The judges are all delightful, and the personalities are not grating. They're like they're fun and likable, and just the right amount of ethnic for the judges, and it's really a happy time.
Oh, happy day!
Yeah. So let's go to the unhappiness. Let's go to the Last Chance Kitchen. let's go with the lady sweep. Tanya, why don't you describe Last Chance Kitchen for us?
So Lewis comes in, and I like that Tom like takes the time to quiz him about who he thinks who's like the worst people to have in the kitchen with him. And Janine's in the list, and she walks out, and so they're given the challenge that they're to go to a French market in a Toyota and pick up
some ingredients. We see the French market for 2 seconds.
I think they have 15 minutes to shop, is that right?
Yeah, 15 minutes to shop.
Yeah, so they have to go describe a Toyota and then shop for 15 minutes and then come back with their ingredients. And then when they go off and do that, and there's a touch screen. It's all very exciting. Yeah.
Like, ooh, snazzy touchscreen on this Toyota.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
And then when they get back to the kitchen, Tom informs them that they only get to keep 3 of the ingredients that they bought at the market. And then instead of having, I think they originally had 30 minutes to cook, and he takes away 10 of those minutes, so they now have 20 minutes to cook the ingredients that they are selecting.
Yeah, so it was both the making fun of Lewis for having used too many ingredients, and then also the surprise twist post-commercial where they had to lose some of the ingredients.
Yeah.
Another thing where, I forgot. A Susser, where Susser would not have enjoyed this challenge.
I'll just take my 3 kinds of soy sauce, and that's
3 different of the same thing. All right, and so they're cooking with 3 different ingredients. Lewis takes the prawns and a couple of other small things, and Janine takes catfish, asparagus, and potato. So what do you guys think? Do you like the taking away ingredients after you've shopped for them?
I would have liked all of this challenge had it not been for the end.
Oh, you were sad about the ending?
Yeah.
You were sad. Okay, so
that Michelin Lewis... star beat not Michelin star?
Yeah, Janine finally lost.
Yeah, after
that
5
we should,
wins.
Yeah, it's worth, yeah. worth saying that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, usually, like, when it's close, Tom says it's close, and he did not say it was close.
He didn't say it was close. He did like the show, but I don't think it was close.
Yeah.
I mean, Lewis's food looked really, really good also.
And
I don't know. His sauce looked really gritty.
Well, yeah,
like, I was surprised that the sauce went over as
Tom
well.
Tom referred to the sauce as weird and kind of gritty. So it was...
So those prawns must have been bomb, or Janine must have really sucked.
Yeah.
Well, just that very boring... Like, one of the 3 ingredients she had was asparagus that was just done in the way that all any of us would do asparagus, which is, like... lightly sauteed or something.
I think it was just boring. I mean, he didn't rave about it. Usually when someone does a piece of fish that's really good, Tom's reaction is, it was perfectly cooked. And all he said was, it was well cooked.
It feels like Janine might have phoned in a little bit. I agree that I liked Janine and I liked her winning, but Megan, why don't you tell me your theory on Janine going home here?
Oh, well, I just feel like to me, sort of consistently, Last Chance Kitchen has shown that there's like that there is sort of justice in the world. Like, I feel like Janine went home too early, and that was made clear by the fact that she won all of these challenges in Last Chance Kitchen. But then I feel like this is probably around the time on the show that she would have gone home if she hadn't gone out too early.
Yeah, and I feel like water finding its own level in Los Angeles.
This is probably fair.
Yeah, I think that's right. I agree.
I think her and Lewis were probably pretty evenly matched, but she hasn't been evenly matched with the previous chefs. She's outmatched them pretty well. Mm-hmm. And now is when, no matter who they sent home, it was going to be somebody that Janine would have trouble with.
Oh, she could have beat Brian.
Well, that's probably true.
Well,
unless,
maybe not.
Unless it was a sauce or luck challenge.
Guys, you just watch. Brian will win this whole thing. All right?
Oh, God. And the winner of Restaurant
All Through Happenstance.
Brian. Yeah.
Did you guys see the spoilers for next week?
No, we didn't.
Like the preview thing? Okay, then we won't talk about
it.
Never
mind.
No,
you can tell me. If it was on this episode, I don't mind. Tell me about it.
Oh, well, we know who the hosts are
for Restaurant Wars. Restaurant Wars is next week.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So it's 10, so it's 5 on a side Restaurant Wars.
Big Restaurant Wars. And who are the guests?
Front of house is Sarah and Travis.
Yep.
That Sarah and Travis, that does not surprise me. Except that Sarah's heart like not nice, but Travis
maybe she'll bust it out for this.
There's a lot of her like smiling and what you can tell she thinks she's smiling serenely and like there are like cartoon bullets of sweat coming.
Yeah, it was like I'm making people feel comfortable.
It's really awkward.
And Travis likewise hasn't really responded well to pressure.
No, not at all.
And so I wonder really what's going to happen. I think they're going to. I'm going
to
make a prediction.
Yeah, I'd love
service
to hear.
Is going to suffer. Yeah. Because they have a lot of strong chefs in the back who are going to tell them what to do, and then they're not going to be able to be traffic cop.
Now, I know that we predicted who would be front of house for Restaurant Wars, and I know one of them was Carrie.
Carlos. Carrie? Carrie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Carrie. And Carlos was the other
Carrie
one.
Carrie and Carlos.
Because people thought that
we were wrong.
He would tell nice stories about his grandma.
Yeah, totally wrong. I mean, I'm still guessing that, I'm still predicting that Carrie's going to make dessert, but... although she managed to not make pig dessert, so that's something.
Yeah, good job.
She said she made crispy trotter, which is horrifying.
And apparently everybody loved it.
Everyone loves that trotter.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's fun. We were wrong about that, but at least we get to do Restaurant Wars next week. I'm super excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big show.
I was really sad to see Janine go, though, because she was so sad.
She was very sad.
She was like, well, because it's a Cinderella story. You're like, well, I thought I was really going to do it all the way.
Yeah.
And then I did not.
I think she started to feel like it was inevitable and that this was her house and that no one could beat her. And
it was just evitable, though.
It was very evitable.
Turns out it was evitable.
Definitely evitable.
I would like, I would like, if it was possible, for someone to like re-edit this show without Michael in it. The way people like re-edited episode 1 without Jar Jar Binks. I would like, because he talked again in Last Chance Kitchen a couple times, and it's just the most grating and terrible thing on the show right now. That's the one thing I don't like about Last Chance Kitchen, is that it allows people who get eliminated who suck to keep talking.
Yeah. Although I did think it was slightly offset by watching Tom Colicchio huck a whole watermelon at Aaron. Lewis was going to use a watermelon. He's like, no, you don't get that. And he just took it and underhand just like lobbed it at the crowd.
And the way that they edited it, like they show Aaron with the watermelon later, but like they cut away as the watermelon is in the air. So you don't know what happened to the watermelon.
Yeah.
Did it just like land on the floor? What happened?
Spinoff show. What happened to the watermelon? Last Chance Watermelon.
Or a spinoff show, Tom throws something heavy at you. I'd watch that.
I would watch both of those shows.
Yeah, new favorite shows. Great.
Why let Gordon Ramsay smash and throw everything, huh?
I would watch both of those shows before I would watch Richard Blaze's new show.
Yeah.
So any other thoughts before we get into Restaurant Wars next week? No.
I'm gonna say Justin is gonna go down. Like he's gonna like he's a downward slope. I think he's off his game. I think he's shaken. I'm not expecting him to be in the top next episode.
Emotionally, like he was rough today, and I really do think it's mostly sleep. Because he had been doing so well, so it wasn't like this had been emotionally trying, like constantly winning and being great. So I think it's probably the sleep and the drinking, and that doesn't get better.
Yeah, who was so Jen. Was it Jen?
Yeah, it was Jen. It was.
Yeah, Jen had a pretty epic crash.
Yeah, it was
a meltdown.
Jennifer Norris.
Jennifer Norris. Yeah, I feel like I'm worried.
She had the meltdown in the museum on the overnight challenge.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. Sorry for non-inside jokers. It was Jen Carroll. We call her Jen Norris because for a while she was.
Like Chuck Norris.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
I was like, yeah, Jen Norris doesn't sound quite right.
Jennifer Norris. Yeah. Anyway, she had like been doing so well, and she was really qualified and was doing awesome. And then she cooked like a very small egg on a piece of toast for the museum challenge, and was like, "They're wrong. This is the best thing anyone's ever made." And she like stormed out, and it was the biggest flame out I've ever seen on the show. Mm-hmm. It was the
second episode. She went home for All Stars. It was pretty crazy.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then she did not do well in All Stars either. That's true.
No, that was. The flame that was All Stars.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Was it the All Stars Museum?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. you just trust us on this one.
We can just keep doing this.
Wait. No, I really don't think that's true. I really don't.
Okay. So why would you have thought she was good, and how would she have gotten a nickname on the second episode then? If this has been the first time.
I'm saying on her original season, she was Jennifer Norris, and everyone thought she was so great. And then she flamed out on the egg in the museum, and then she came back on All Stars, and we were like, and she didn't do anything impressive at all, and we had thought she was going to be so great because she went home so early.
Wait, I think I'm on Team Alex.
No. Look, she was the fifth eliminated because this was so it was.
Wait a second, we have the internet.
Yeah, but...
Well, but it's not fun to listen to people Google stuff. So, probably not the greatest idea.
All right. I'm totally we can keep wrong. On talking about it.
Wait, no. Season 8 was the best of. Or 10 was best of. 10 was All-Stars, right?
Yeah, I think...
We're on 11 right now.
Just edit this part out.
Okay.
No, not true.
No, 9 was All-Stars. Sorry, okay. Because...
Yeah, 8 was All-Stars. Was All-Stars.
Sorry, guys.
6 was...
I'm totally right
was
about
on.
This. Season 8, Nightmare at the Museum. That was her elimination.
That was All Stars.
That was All Stars.
You just said 9 was All Stars.
No, whoever said that was wrong.
It was 8. Yeah,
she made it to the finale in her season.
Season 6. Yeah, she was on. Like she was.
Really?
Yeah, season 6.
That was... She was having a flame out.
Alex, I'm abandoning
she was still
your ship.
Having, like a pretty major.
No, Sarah, I needed you.
Sorry.
So look, season 6. That was her and like Bearded Kevin and Brian and it was the Voltaggio brothers, right? That was and she was
she was in the finale with the vaults.
Yeah. I don't think she was in the last one, but she was
like she made
almost
to like,
made it to the finale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're gonna conclude this.
But
she
did have a pretty epic flame out.
We're gonna take this offline. We'll work on it again next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Last thoughts. Go ahead, Tanya.
Oh, I was just gonna say. I mean, in the non like Googling Jen Carroll theme, I did think there was a lot of interesting anxiety brought to the forefront, like Nicholas and his ulcers, and Stephanie, and like everyone being like, she's the most anxious person I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
true.
There was a lot of I don't know. There was a lot more light shed on like just how like fall apart everybody gets after their challenge is over.
So yeah,
that's. I think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm. I think that, I think you guys are probably right about Jen Carroll, but that's really weird though. But anyway, I think it's interesting about the anxiety though because Stephanie is dealing with it by being hilarious and charming, and like Justin dealt with it by being a dickhole. So, kind of interesting the way personalities affect that way. I didn't think Stephanie was actually anxious. I thought she was just funny, but...
Well, yeah, and so did I, until they cut to all of the other times where she's just, like, freaking out about everything.
And,
like,
and not being funny.
Repeating herself quite a bit.
Yeah.
Which, I could see that getting old.
Yeah, totally. All right, well, I think that's it. No more thoughts. We're done. Let's wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for listening to Pack Your Mics. We'll be back again next week. Let us know what you think. Go to packyourmics.com or facebook.com/packyourmics or twitter.com/packyourmics. At Pack Your Mics on Twitter, I guess how you'd say that. But we're available in all those places. Send us your questions, your thoughts. Explain to me what happened with this Jen Carroll thing. all of this is possible. Anyway, but let us know. I'd love to hear it. Also, if you want to support our show, you can go to packyourmics.com/Amazon anytime you want to either buy this show or other shows or buy anything from Amazon and give us a small percentage. We'd really appreciate it. And that's it. I really especially love your questions. So in any of those mediums, send us your questions that you'd like the panel to discuss or you'd like to correct us on or any of that stuff. It's really, I've enjoyed that.
Twitter, Facebook, email, it's all good.
Yeah.
And what are your favorite cooking shows? Like what else should we be watching really?
Yeah, I love that. Especially the obscure things that like San Francisco's, was it Oh, check please.
Check please.
Yes, check please.
Yeah.
Awesome. And who you think is going to cook dessert next week. That'll be great. Anyway, that's it. Thank you so much for being here, Chris and Tanya in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ezra and Sarah in San Francisco. Thanks for joining us.
Woohoo.
Of course.
In Portland Studio, I'm Alex. This is Megan.
Hello. Goodbye.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of
We like to record a bunch in a row just to like knock it out. It would be weird if this was like Downton Abbey where you could like watch it 8 months in advance. That would be... Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us. Chris?
Yep.
Sorry to do this to you, buddy.
Oh.
Just too much popcorn.
What? No. No.
Any amount.
Ezra's dish was worse.
No. There was
not a dry piece of meat in my entire commentary.
My entire popcorn.
I agree with you, but Megan had a bad piece, so sorry about that. Anyway, pack your mics. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.